listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. You need to, if it's your first time, you need to go over to kevinsmithshow.com and subscribe to our free weekly e-zine, all right? And you'll see it. It's called the K-Files e-zine. It's all right there in front of you on the webpage, all right? Just click that ad for the K-Files e-zine and subscribe, and then you will be in the loop. You'll be in the know, and you won't have to be in the dark. There's really no reason for you not to do it. It's free, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. No strings attached, really. I've been getting emails today with people saying, did you see those lights above Phoenix last night? Well, no, I didn't. We apparently had another UFO display above Phoenix last night. I didn't see it because I was inside doing the show. And I was sitting in the studio doing the show. I didn't know it was going on. And none of you called me to tell me. In fact, none of you called at all last night. What is the problem? I was shocked. One of the best shows, one of the hottest shows that we've ever done. I've been getting emails all day from people saying, hey, I listened to the show, and man, that was incredible. It was, but I mean, good grief. You had no questions for the guest? You had no comments about what he was saying? Oh, I see. You were discussing it all in chat rooms, all very silently, right? Shame on you. We have telephones. Talk shows require audio. And we may open the telephone lines tonight, maybe. It'll be a toss of the coin. We're going to be talking with Eric Taylor. He is an investigator for IPUS. He has looked into one particular part of this story from Stephenville, Texas, and has come up with some pretty interesting information and interesting responses, actually, from some of the people in the government and military that he talked with. So we'll be talking with him, and maybe we'll open the phone lines. We'll see what kind of mood I'm in. We'll see if I'm in a go-silent mood tonight or if I'm in a, yeah, let's do a talk show mood tonight when the time comes. But the Phoenix lights last night, it's not exactly the same as the Phoenix lights that you're all familiar with. Up above Phoenix, there was a cluster of lights. The Air Force out here, the Air Force base in the Phoenix area, says it wasn't us. We didn't have anything up there. So it'll be interesting to see if they come back here, if the Air Force comes back in a few hours or days and says, oops, we forgot. We did have some National Guard pilots up there, and they were dropping flares, and they were on exercises. It'll be interesting to see if they tried that story. it amazes me how that keeps getting trotted out as an explanation. But we'll just have to sit tight, wait and see. So on the other side of this break, Eric Taylor and the investigation he's done into the Stephenville UFO sighting and one particular part of that sighting. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steelang Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. You know, there's never been a better time for you to start your own broadcast. I know there are a lot of paranormal investigators. I know there are a lot of people who are paranormal experiencers who want to have their own broadcast. Well, now you can right here at Steel Eye Media Network. It is within your grasp. You can do it, and we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call today at 1-800-318-1008. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles and free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
This is Charles Hall.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hardcastle.
This is Jason Martell, researcher into the ancient astronaut theory.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
My guest this evening is Eric Taylor, and Eric is in the eastern part of the United States. I will let him tell you about where he is and his investigation into all of the into the Stephenville UFO sighting. But let me say that he has come across some pretty interesting information as he investigated the UFO sighting in Stephenville, Texas. You remember the Stephenville sighting, I'm sure. It was huge, and it is the one where the Air Force, the statement they put out first was, we didn't have anything in the area. And then they said a few days later, oh yes, we did have 10 F-16s up there, we forgot. Nobody bought that story at all. The 10 F-16s, yeah, they were there. There were people that saw them, and there were people that pilots that saw them chasing the UFO. So, anyway, Eric, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted you're here.
Good evening, Mr. Smith. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the show tonight. First, I'd like to give a quick shout-out, if I could, to the fellow forum members of Open Minds Forum and AboveTopSecret.com. A lot of them are listening tonight. They give me a lot of support. Basically, my name is Eric. I'm 25 years old. I live near Atlanta, Georgia. I've been researching the UFO subject for about 10 years now. And when I first heard about the Stephenville sightings, it really caught my interest in. Immediately, I kind of got that feeling that it was one of those, you know, groundbreaking sightings, you know, and especially after I heard about Ricky Sorrells, who lives in Dublin, Texas, which is about, I believe, 8 miles southwest of Stephenville, about his sighting, which occurred in mid-December 2007. then that really caught my interest, because after talking with Ricky over the phone a few times, I really got the sense that he was a, you know, good old down-to-earth guy who saw something really extraordinary. And I've just been doing my best to basically investigate, ask questions, call around, and do that kind of thing.
You know, I talked with Ricky right after this sighting, right after it happened, and tracked him down, and I don't mean that in a bad sense of the word, but I mean found out his name and how to get in touch with him through one of the local TV news reporters there. And I talked with him on the telephone. He told me his story, told me what he had seen. He was pretty nervous about talking to me. He didn't know me, and he was nervous about talking to me, who am I, and all of that.
Right.
On at one level, I would have to say that I thought, okay, this is this guy is really genuine, and he's seen something, and he's a little frightened, and so forth. And on the other hand, I felt like that Ricky himself possibly had an agenda, and we'll get into that a little bit. But he has given his story, and he's told it. And it has been reported, and you've checked up on it.
Right.
So let's talk about what his story is first.
Okay. And before I start, like I say, I always do this with a skeptical eye also. You know, what he proclaims to have seen is spectacular, out of this world, in quotations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was actually in mid-December. A lot of people think it was January 1st because he, Miss Linda Howe came down to his property and did, worked with him on getting his story together. And he told me that Linda wanted to come up with a concrete date for the sighting. So he basically used January 1st, 2008. But the truth of it is that it was actually in mid-December, okay? Ricky's the type of guy, from what he's told me, that, you know, he kind of, you know, when he has to get up for work early in the morning, he does it. He's out and about, doesn't really keep track of the date too much.
Normal. Lots of people are, you know, if we were to ask the audience right now, what's the date today, they would have to, a lot of people would have to think about that.
Probably half of them wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But he was out to go deer hunting to check on his deer feeders and the woods on his property in Dublin, and it was still daylight out, and he had a rifle with him with a scope on it set to 9 power, and as he was walking through the woods, he happened to look up, and he told me that he saw this huge, almost like platform-type craft with, he could see large holes, which he said to be, you know, he guessed to be about approximately 8 feet wide, that at the top went flat. They didn't cone up to a point. He said he wasn't really that scared. He just wanted to, you know, observe it and figure out what the heck it was. So he told me, you know, he set his rifle scope to 3 power from 9 power, and what he could see, observe, was the craft was like barn tin gray, dullish in color. He could kind of see, like, you know, in the summer you see heat waves coming off of the hoods of cars.
Yeah.
Kind of like almost like a mirage emanating from the bottom of it. And he told me he observed it for approximately about a minute or two. He looked left to right, couldn't see the edges of the craft. It was humongous. He worked on a mill for his father when he was younger, and these mill towers are approximately 100 feet high. So in his head, he tried to stack those on top of each other, and he came up with about 300 feet above them, hovering completely silently. And then the craft took off in the blink of an eye. He said if he wasn't looking, he wouldn't have seen it. And what it did was it stayed flat, and it didn't tip up at an angle, but it kind of left at like a 45-degree angle, if you can picture that in your head.
It stayed like parallel to the ground, but was elevating.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So basically after that, he... He got, you know, in touch with Angelia Joyner, who was formerly with the Stephenville Empire Tribune newspaper.
Yeah.
And she ran an article, a couple, with Ricky. And she, along with Linda Howell, helped him get his story together, whatnot. He also had the AP, the Associated Press, come out, and they ran a story. He was under the impression that they were just writing down notes to use, but somehow there was a video camera there. They took a little bit of footage. That ended up on CNN International, if you've seen that. There's a clip of it on YouTube.com. It has over 600,000 views. Needless to say, it only showed him briefly. None of the after effects of his talking to the AP have ever really been reported by major news media, which we'll get into a little bit more. And then, basically, after he did the piece with the AP and it ran, he received what he says was a phone call from someone who proclaimed to be a lieutenant colonel, saying that he wanted to come to Ricky's and talk to him. And Ricky pretty much, you know, politely said no thanks, but no thanks. And it got a little heated. And, you know, in the conversation, the guy told him, well, we've got the caliber, you know, the firepower you have, only more of it. And this was before this phone call. He was having helicopters hovering over his property really low, as well as jets. And this was happening all times of the day and all times of the night. He said he would get up for work at like 2 or 3 a.m., and there'd be stuff flying over his house, you know. So on the phone, Ricky said, well, if you're really who you say you are, Lieutenant Colonel, why don't you stop all these helicopter and jet flights over my property? And the lieutenant, whoever it supposedly is, Lieutenant Colonel, said, well, that's not your airspace, it's our airspace. And if you look at the Brownwood MOA airspace for the joint testing area down there, Dublin is near the restricted airspace, I believe on one of the corners, but it's not in it. So,
well, technically, let me tell you, technically, the United States government claims ownership
of
all airspace, everything from, right above your hairline to as far out in space as you can imagine. They claim they own it as long as it's above the USA.
Okay.
So that would be consistent with, the U.S. government position. They say they own the airspace, and I understand what they mean by that. If they didn't claim that, then we would be ripe for invasion from anybody that just wanted to fly in here and do whatever they wanted to do. But
right.
I'll tell you what, it is inconsistent with normal practice for them to threaten to use their guns.
Well, in my mind, if he really did see this large craft in broad daylight, you got to think, well, if it is a top secret military craft, why in the world would they fly it, something that large? You know, even though Dublin is not a very populated city and where he lives is very rural, the chances of somebody seeing something that large is pretty good, you know. But he claims that an intruder also came onto his property one night. He, like, positioned himself in between two of his vehicles, I believe.
The intruder did?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky got his gun just to be on the safe side, thought about going out, but didn't, just to see what the man would do. I was on his property. And he said that they were kind of he could see Ricky, and Ricky could see him. And then he just turned and walked into the woods. Well, I guess a couple days after that, around the area where the man walked in the woods, he found a unspent bullet, a round, on the ground. And this was not the type of round, the type of bullet that he uses or anybody that he allows on his property uses. So he kind of found that to be odd, almost like, was it a sign or... was that something that the man had on him at the time? I found that to be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, getting back to my... I called... My father works for the FAA. He's kind of a bigwig. So I figured I would call around. So I called. First, I called Major Carl Lewis, who is the public affairs chief for the 301st Fighter Wing, the Joint Reserve Naval Base in Fort Worth. And I said, you know, I knew that before I called him, a lot of other people had, and he had already put out this press release saying on January 8th that there was 10 F-16s in the air after the first release came out that there wasn't. So I said, you know, was there anything tracked on radar, abnormally large or fast, near the town of Dublin, Texas? And he said, well, I can't speculate on what that guy might have seen. All I can tell you is that on January 8th, we did have 10 F-16s flying a training mission near Stephenville.
So he didn't answer the question?
No. He said I couldn't speculate.
Can't speculate on what this guy may have seen. But the question was not, can you speculate on what did this guy see? The question is, what did you guys see on your radar?
Exactly. So he told me to call the FAA, which we'll later find out is kind of ironic. So I called the FAA. I believe it was the southwestern or south central region manager. And make a long story short, he said that he had also heard about the Stephenville sightings, and it was of interest to him. So I said, well, was anything tracked on radar abnormally large or fast near Dublin, Texas, do you know of? We only track aircraft, he told me, with transponders. The FAA does. So that's like commercial aircraft. It wouldn't be, you know, a military craft or a UFO, let's say. He said, so, you know,
well,
good luck.
It's my opinion that is untrue. I no longer fly, but I used to fly private airplanes from time to time. And I know that when you take off from the airport, the air traffic controller is—he's got you on radar, and he tells you, altitude to assume, what lane to fly. He directs you in and out of his airspace. You are on his radar. If you're in his airspace, you're on the radar.
Exactly. And like I say, my father is pretty big in the FAA here in Georgia, and I asked him, and he said, yes, my 30 years in the FAA, I've heard of many pilot sightings of UFOs, and they've been tracked on radar. So whatever that guy said didn't make much sense to me. So I said, heck, I'll try NORAD. Somehow got through to NORAD, which is the North American Space Defense Agency, I believe. Anyways, they said they only track man-made objects in space. They don't track meteors. They don't track UFOs. So I said, well, is there anything you can do to help me out? She said, well, let me transfer you to Lackland Air Force Base, which is located in San Antonio, which is, you know, southeast of Dublin and Stephenville. I said, okay. She put me through, and a major answered. I didn't, at the time, have anything to write down his name. He said it very fast. Hello, this is Major so-and-so. So I said, hello. I know somebody that lives in Dublin, Texas, that in mid-December saw a very large craft that was completely silent and hovered above him in broad daylight. I was wondering if y'all had tracked anything on a radar abnormally large or fast in that area during that time. He said, well, sir, that information will be classified, and I cannot tell you. I said, okay, I can understand that. And then he said, he came back and kind of snapped. He said, well, why would we track it if we knew what it was? I said, you know, at this point, I'm getting kind of a little bit nervous. And I said, well, I don't know, sir. I'm just, you know, asking a question here. And he said, well, did this person that saw this object receive a phone call from anyone? And I said, yes, sir, I believe he did. He said, well, do you know the name of the person that contacted him? I said, no, sir, I don't. And he basically said, well, does this satisfy you? And I said, yes, sir, goodbye. And that was it.
Why would we
track
it?
And, you know, Lackland Air Force Base is, you know, the major base that you basically, you go into the Air Force, you go there for, you know, basic training and whatnot.
And he said, why would we track it if we know what it is?
Exactly. Those are his exact words.
Well, see, that's interesting, isn't it? Because that would mean that when they put those 10 F-16s in the air, they know what they are. They didn't track them?
Exactly.
You know, that makes no sense. Why would we track it if we know what it is? You know, that's... basically, it sounds to me like he's saying, hey, look, I can't tell you anything, But I can tell you we know what that was.
Exactly. Yep. And the fact that he asked if he'd received a phone call also kind of set a light bulb off in my head. Like, wow, was he in on this? You know? Or is that just standard protocol when somebody sees something that strange that, you know, if it was a secret military craft that he shouldn't have seen, for him to get a call so they can debrief him and tell him not to talk about it? You know, which the guy on the phone that he talked to, the lieutenant colonel, basically said, well, we'll stop flying these helicopters and jets over your property if you shut up about this, you know? I think, and another thing was, one of these helicopters was so low, he told me, over his property one night, that he shined a light off from his truck up at this thing, and he could see the person inside shield his eyes from the light. You know, what they were doing hovering over his property near his home, you know, is a good question. You know, that's not no military zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's his private property. What were they looking for? And he said he just turned off the light and thought he's better get his ass inside, so he just went home. You know, that's all he told me.
Well, I find this whole exchange with this major at Lackland. First, I find the FAA response very interesting. We don't track anything unless it's got transponders. I know your dad works for the FAA, but I got to tell you, that is a blatant, bald-faced lie. Now, that doesn't mean your dad was involved with the lie, and that's why I separated him out. But that person working for the FAA who made that statement was lying and had to know they were lying when they did it. They do track anything that comes through that airspace.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you see these cases in Alaska, if anybody's familiar with that, where the Japanese airliner was had huge objects hovering next to it in front of it, whatnot, and those were tracked, you know. They ended up calling NORAD, even though supposedly what they told me, they don't track anything but man-made objects in space, you know.
Well, see, and here's another thing. How do you know it's a man-made object?
Exactly.
All you see is a blip on the radar screen. You don't know what it is.
Right.
And to say we don't track anything but man-made objects, that also is absolutely, on the face of it, not true. That isn't true. If it comes through the airspace, radar doesn't say, okay, let me see, should I paint this object or not with a radar signal, because, you know, that might not be man-made. No, I guess I won't. Radar doesn't do that.
Exactly. So he's telling me that the FAA radar only tracks objects with sending a signal back and forth. Otherwise, a blip won't show up on the radar. That's not true. If you look at all the cases, UFO sightings, the FAA is involved in tracking it.
I've never been aboard a private aircraft, you know, just private civilian aircraft that had a transponder. I've also never been aboard one that wasn't being tracked on radar. I'll tell you what, I was in a Cessna 152 one time, which is kind of like a flying go-kart. It's very, very small.
Right.
We were leaving from Addison Airport in the Dallas area, headed toward Monroe, Louisiana. We had a strong tailwind, and we were doing 100, and I think it was 190 knots. And that plane is rated, I think, at 100, maximum speed, 145 knots, something like that. And we got a call from the tower in Dallas asking us to verify what type of plane did you say you are in. And the guy that was doing the flying told them it's a Cessna 152. And they said, well, we're tracking you at 190 or 195, something like that, knots. You know, are you sure you're in a Cessna 152? He said, yes. And they said, well, you might need to slow that down a bit. You're above the plane's rating. They were tracking us on radar. We have to take a break. And whenever we come back from this break, we'll continue talking with Eric Taylor.
front door. I'm still half sleeping, but there's one thing sure, and it's, yeah, I'm on my way. Lock, stock, and building to another day. Well, oh, mama, I'm on my way. Well, I don't know if I'll get real old and have whiskers and long gray hair. I just know I'll be a big damn fool if I don't use the time that's here. Well, I hustle through traffic to my baby's place. I just can't wait to see that smiling face. I might be losing, but I'm in this race. You better believe it.
My guest is Eric Taylor, and we're talking about the Stephenville UFO sighting and his investigation of part of that sighting, the part being the story, the testimony of one of the witnesses by the name of Ricky Sorrells. How many times have you talked with Ricky?
I've talked with Ricky, I'd say approximately about 5 or 6 times. He's gotten to trust me, which, as you said, he kind of is kind of weary, you know. I think we've kind of formed a bond. He trusts me as a friend, he told me. So, you know, I just want to get his story out there and, you know, either way, figure out if he saw something, if so, what it was. You know, I feel like he's weary after he talked to the AP and receiving these phone calls and these helicopters and jets over his property that, you know, he probably wants his family's safety to come first. And he's kind of weary to talk to major media now. He's done a few articles here and there, but, you know, I really can't blame the guy.
Well, except that if that stuff is really going on, his only hope of safety is to turn the lights on and expose it.
I think he's done a good job of that. I think a whole lot of people know Rick Sorrells now. But some other things I wanted to touch on were, are you familiar with B.J. Booth of UFOcasebook.com? He's a webmaster.
Yeah.
He relayed some information to me that he posted an article back in mid-February, he told me, and I actually read it when he posted it, dealing with the Stephenville sightings. And attached to the article was a like map diagram of the Crawford Ranch restricted airspace. And that's basically what the article was about, that perhaps these UFOs breached the restricted airspace at the Crawford Ranch, and these X-16s were sent up to figure out what was going on.
Let me say for our audience, because Eric, I don't know if you're aware, but we have audience in 95 countries. So let me say to our audience around the world that when we refer to the Crawford Ranch,
that is the home of President George Bush. That in, he has a home in Texas. He's got a ranch there, and it's at Crawford, Texas. So when we talk about the Crawford Ranch, we're talking about, we refer to it sometimes as the Texas White House. It's the home, the actual home of the president, not the official home. The official home, of course, is the White House, but his home, his private home, and that is restricted airspace, absolutely. And
I believe it's a 60-mile radius, I believe. And basically, he posted this article, including this restricted airspace map, and he received an email from the Secret Service and asked him to please take down the article because we fear that it could cause undue public panic. So after he received the email, thinking to himself, well, if I don't take down this article, perhaps the Secret Service will, or worse, my entire UFOcasebook.com site, he took the article down and put, and when you clicked on it, it said copyright violation, because at first he didn't want to say exactly what happened, you know. Just now he is starting to talk about it, and he gave me permission to talk about it tonight on the show, so I found that to be interesting. He's been in the UFO field for many years and posts a lot of interesting breaking UFO news and whatnot.
So, you know, I don't know, maybe I don't get it. I don't know how that would cause undue public concern or undue...
having to do with the president, it was one of the, I believe, one of the first published articles that dealt with that, so... They probably wanted to try to nip it in the bud, but since then there's been more articles posted, so it's not like they can stop them all. But
well, to tell you the truth, Eric, they can. They really can if they want to. They can flip a few switches and hit a few keys on the keyboards, and they can take every website down if they. I mean, they have the technology to do it. It's a matter of, is it wise to do so, you know? So they really could do it, but and that's kind of the point. The point being, I find, I'm not saying that I don't believe Ricky's story about being contacted by the military. I'm not saying that I don't believe his story about being harassed or threatened. But I do find it difficult to buy. There are people who say to me, well, Kevin, we know that's gone on in the past. We know for sure that it's, yeah, in the past. I can't see that they would try that now. Maybe they did. I don't know. But it's hard for me to buy that they would do it now in a time where communication between citizens is instantaneous and it's on the Internet.
Well, you got to think, if it let's say it is a secret military craft that they've flown, say it's some kind of space platform, we don't know, for him to go around to the Associated Press, you know, and for that to show up on CNN, probably didn't make them too happy, you know. And maybe they felt like, okay, this Ricky guy, he's a good down-to-earth guy, doesn't have too many connections, he's not internet savvy. You know, we're going to try to scare the living daylights out of him to see if he doesn't hush up. And maybe that's what their plan was. I don't know.
Do you think that they actually did contact him?
Excuse me?
Do you think they actually did contact him?
After talking with Ricky, I really do take his word on that. I really do. I mean, there's a link attached to my article on UFODigest.com about Ricky. And the second page, there's a new 30-minute video testimony where Ricky invited a bunch of people from the Open Minds Forum out to his place to kind of take them through a tour and describe exactly what happened. And there's a lot of information that people, you know, if it's not true, then that's really sad if he's making this up. if what he's saying is in fact true, which I believe, I just think that it's a shame that the major news networks haven't done any follow-up and only put a little 15-second video footage of him, you know, with his arms pointing. It was this large, and it was right here, you know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. Basically, something went down in Stephenville and Dublin, okay, in December and January, because Miss Angelina Joyner was just a speaker at the X Conference up in Washington, D.C. this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
And after she got done with her presentation, she said that after people kind of filed out, this guy was kind of hanging back, and he came up to her, flashed an ID card, which she said she saw U.S. Navy on it, and he said, basically, I was sent here on assignment to come to this conference, okay? And he said, you made a point in your presentation that I believe is pretty much like the reason why UFO disclosure hasn't happened, and that point is that it would shock people's belief systems. Okay, and she has just said this, and I'm sure more information about that will come out. You know, whether he was for real or just some loony, I don't know. But
how credible do you think Angelina Joyner is?
I think she's very credible. I really do. She worked at the Empire Tribune, and really was the catalyst for getting all these stories first published. They didn't want her to really cover the UFO subject any longer. She got so many calls and emails about it that they let her go. And she could have just quit and said, the heck with it, I don't want to cover this anymore. But she's kind of forged ahead and, you know, kept going. And I really believe that there's people, this group of, you know, tight-knit group of people that want to find out the answers to what these people saw. And you know, these people didn't ask for this. They're mid-Texans, you know. They don't go out looking for UFOs. They don't talk about UFOs. They're not interested in UFOs, but they sure as heck are now, you know.
The reason I asked about her is because after she was let go from the newspaper there, I invited her to come on the show. And her response in the email was that she was not going to talk about this stuff anymore. She was just going to get on with her life. And immediately went out and started a new website and immediately started speaking at conferences.
Well,
talking about it. I'm just wondering. I don't criticize it. It just raises credibility questions for me.
Right. So I don't know when she told you that, but perhaps for that short period of time, that was her mindset. I don't know. I know for a period of time she did kind of take a break and was trying to get work printing and reporting on other things for you know, writing other articles. But I can't really comment on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. It's puzzling to me. The whole thing is puzzling.
It really is.
Now, the one thing that really makes me think that Ricky was telling the truth is this major's question. Now, you called and talked with a major at, where was it, Lackland?
Yeah, Lackland.
Mm-hmm. And he says that after you had talked with him for a little bit, he asked you a question. The question was, did anybody call this man?
Exactly. And right when he said that, it set off a trigger. I said, oh, boy, because that's what Ricky had told me, you know. And then when he asked for his name, I really thought, wow, you know, what's going on here? Is this guy playing games with me, or is this standard protocol? I don't know. I've tried to ask if Ricky could somehow, like, contact his phone company, you know, and try to maybe perhaps track that call. I don't know if too much time has passed.
Yeah, well, it could be done.
We have to take a break, though, Eric. Hang on, and folks, we'll be back more with Eric Taylor right after this.
they are not gonna get away. But good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things in your life, they'll be better one day. But don't give up, everything will be okay. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. A choice, and so is regret. So pick yourself up, and I know you can find your way. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things in your life, they'll be better one day. But don't give up, everything will be okay. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things that seem bad can sometimes turn to good. Just need some time so that you can change your mood. So pick yourself up, and I know you can find your way. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things in your life, they'll be better one day. But don't give up, everything will be okay. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those things in your life, they'll be better one day. But don't give up, everything will be okay. 'Cause good things, you know, well, they happen every day. Those good things, you know, well, they happen every day.
Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. Hey, don't forget to go over and subscribe to the K-Files e-zine, our weekly newsletter. Be sure you do subscribe. It's absolutely free. There are no strings attached. Now, we're talking with Eric Taylor. We're talking with him about his investigation into the Stephenville UFO sighting. When the break came along, that I find it very interesting, very curious, two things that major said to you. One was, why would we track it if we know what it is? And two, did Mr. Sorrells get a telephone call from anybody? So the first question, why would we track it if we know what it is? That question indicates that it's not a UFO as far as the military is concerned. It's an IFO. It is an identified flying object. They know what it is. We don't know what it is, so for us it's a UFO. The second thing is, by asking the question about that telephone call, the major is indicating, whether he intended to or not, he's indicating that is somehow standard procedure.
Right. Well, basically, him saying, why would we track it if we knew what it was? I can kind of take that two ways. My main thought is that, okay, it is a secret military craft that Ricky might have seen. On the other hand, you know, he might have said that in order to not divulge the information that it could have been an unknown craft. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say disinformation. Well, actually, I would. But, you know, I wouldn't take what he said for verbatim. You know what I mean? They don't like to be very direct a lot of the times when you ask them questions regarding this. As far as the question about who called him, or if someone called Ricky and what his name was, that's what really stuck in my mind and has to this very day. So I don't know. Whether I plan on calling any of these people back, I don't know. I wish other people would do it. You know, not me.
Did it make you nervous to call these people?
Excuse me?
Did it make you nervous to call these people?
I really didn't. I would say after I talked to the major and he said what he said, after I got off the phone, I was a bit nervous because I was, you know, what he said wasn't, and the way he said it was kind of an aggravated tone, you know, kind of made me think, wow, I hope now they aren't, you know, looking up on me to see why I'm calling about this. But, you know, I feel like I'm 25 years old. There's millions of people all over the world that are interested in the subject of UFOs, and I feel like, you know, I'm an American citizen, I'm a taxpayer. I have the right to call who I want, and they can say what they want, you know, but if we all dug a little deeper and called our representatives, you know, called different Senate, House committees, asked for UFO hearings, then our point would get across, you know. We need to stop the bickering amongst each other so much and try to figure out ways to achieve our common goal, which is, you know, if you look throughout history, the decades of UFOs, you realize that something, you know, something's going on, for sure. Now, whether these objects are man-made or whether they're not is the question in my mind. It's not whether I believe in UFOs, it's what are these UFOs.
That's a very good point, Eric. I say it on this show all the time. Believing in UFOs has nothing to do with it. They don't ask us to believe in them. It's not a matter of religion. You know, I mean, right. There's nothing to believe. If it's up there, it's up there.
If you do your research good enough, you'll come to that realization, and the ignorance factor will wear off. And most people just haven't, you know. It's still just laugh, ha-ha, UFO, funny. And I don't know. I know my grandfather, he had a UFO sighting. He had a UFO hover right above him in 1971 in East Bern, New York. It was reported right up in the Albany Times Union paper the next day. He's right now he's a head judge in a town that I won't mention. He's a member of the NRA, most conservative man that I know. And at the time, he was a state trooper for the Albany police. And basically, on the night this happened, which was, I believe, November 1st, 1971, he pulled over on the side of the road at night, you know, a country road, to relieve himself. Well, this bright beam of light shines down right on top of him, very concentrated beam of light. He said he looked up, very, very bright. He thought about going to his car to see, you know, if he could get his gun and, you know, make sure for safety. And the light shut off in the blink of an eye, and he saw this object just kind of zip off without making any noise into the sky very fast. He then proceeded to get a phone call from his superior to say, go to this woman's house in Knox, New York, which is near East Bern. And he got there, and her dogs were crawling with their tails between her legs on all fours, whimpering. She said, well, I saw UFOs hovering above my barn, and I've seen it times before. So he decided at that point to call the Albany airport to see if they tracked anything on radar. They said they had tracked nothing unusual. And lo and behold, several residents of Albany had seen these UFOs, and it was in the Albany Times newspaper, which he lost the article to, wouldn't you know. But that's, ever since he told that story to me, it stuck with me, and I've just, you know, my initials are ET, believe it or not, as you know, and I've just always had an interest in finding out the truth. You know, did God, did, if there is a God, which I believe, did he create more intelligent life than just humans? Are we, you know, part of an intergalactic community where we may not be the most advanced?
Well, look, I got to tell you something. And and there are lots and lots of people listening to this show who truly are, you know, they believe the Bible. They believe it's, they believe in God. They believe that it's the Word of God. And I'm not critical of that. But if you are one of those people, if you're listening to this show wherever on this planet, and you believe that the Bible is true, do you not realize that it speaks about extraterrestrial races? What do you think angels are? Are they from here? No. Well, then if they're not from here, they are extraterrestrial. And it names at least two races of them, and possibly there are some more. There's some question about some of the names of peoples in the Bible as to whether that might be actually names of races of angels. But there's two different races of angels that are mentioned. That's the seraphim and the cherubim. And so, you know, extraterrestrial races, hey, it's in the Bible.
I'm also talking with a guy, I won't mention his name, he works for a scientific corporation that works for the U.S. Navy, and he has a high interest in UFOs, especially the UFO, like, proposing aspect of how these, you know, objects can stop on a dime, you know, go multiple Mach speeds without breaking the sound barrier, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, he won't, I emailed him at his, first got an email from him after I had emailed the Navy, and I tried to email him back. He said, here's my private email, here's my private cell phone, I can't talk to you at work about this. So I just talked to him today. So my point is that a lot of intelligent people, you know, a lot of people think that if you're interested in the UFO subject, you must be loony, and it's just not true. It's just that the people who really haven't looked into it and done their research, et cetera, are just, I hate to say it, kind of ignorant to the whole subject in general.
Well, yes, we have a break coming up, but let me say this. I'm really, really hard on folks like that. Not on them personally, but on their state of mind. I call them intellectual mudsuckers or knuckle draggers because they assume they know when they don't know. The people who have really, the top scientists in this world, I mean the tip-top scientists in this world who have looked at this, say there is no possibility whatsoever that we are alone in the universe. It's not possible. So that means that there are other intelligent races. And there, you know, even Stephen Hawking is now admitting that there probably is some kind of primitive life out there. Well, Stephen Hawking is famous, but certainly not the tip top in his profession. He's very up there, but not the tip top. The top guys, the really top guys, are the ones that say there's no possibility that we're alone.
We're into a break. We'll be back more with Eric Taylor, and I'll flip a coin to see if I open the phone lines tonight. We will return.
Only hope for love is through. on riding. Well, won't you listen to the rain?
Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back to those of you who are joining us just now in the second hour. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. My guest is Eric Taylor, and we're talking about his investigation into the Stephenville UFO incident. All right.
Eric, we have a caller on the line, so let's go straight to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Mr. Criswell. How are you?
Just fine.
Good.
Just fine. I have a comment and something that I want to discuss with both of you.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
This young man, I'm very proud of him tonight. He's with IPAS, and he's one of our directors, and he's doing one fine job there. Don't you agree there, Kevin?
Well, he's doing an excellent job on the show, yes.
Yes. He does an excellent job for us as well. The reason I think that that they didn't want to talk about the Crawford Ranch, okay, and that's some of the investigation that we dug up about the UFOs coming from the Crawford Ranch, is because they didn't want to link that. That's the real reason. They just wanted to say that, you know, that they were flares and, you know, go on about their business. They didn't want to link that to the president's ranch. That's what I believe. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I don't know. It's possible. They have things to think about that you and I are not aware of. And so it's quite possible that within the context of the things those guys think about, this would have been an important point. Now, to me, without all of the information that they have, the fact that the thing flew through restricted airspace is no bigger deal than the fact that it showed up somewhere. I mean, in other words, to me, the fact that it showed up is the big deal, and that it flew through restricted airspace doesn't, to me, make it a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm not hired to think about those things, and so I don't.
Right. Yeah, if I was thinking like them, I would think of it as a more of like, you know, trying to stop it as like a PR event, you know. The president, okay, we don't want that, any aspect of that to get injected into the media, you know. That's only common sense, you know, to me as a possibility.
Well, see, yeah, but then what about this? What about all those debunkers out there that have official ties and get paid from nefarious funds, and they're out there doing professional debunking, and they say, well, if they're real, why don't they just land on the White House lawn?
Okay, here's my theory on that. This is Eric Taylor. If we could travel to another planet, let's say another solar system, we had the technology, would you sure as heck land on the capital of an alien planet's capital? I mean, I wouldn't think so, not knowing what the reaction would be, how it would change.
Well, my point
culture.
I understand what you're saying, but my point is they keep challenging them to land on the White House lawn, and then they're nervous because they flew over Crawford, Texas. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, but they're looking for intelligence, guys. You know, they're not looking for what's in the White House or, you know, Capitol Hill or anything like that. They're looking for intelligence, and they know that there's nothing there.
Well, but you see the point I'm making, Dick.
Yeah.
If you challenge them to land on the White House lawn and then you're nervous because they fly over Crawford, Texas, those two things don't equate.
Yeah. Well, the other point that I want to make is it's really not an Air Force problem. This is always, the UFOs have always been a naval problem because they have a charter for paranormal. So the Air Force is kind of like, they're kind of stuck because it's in the air, so they make those statements. And you know, it is really telling that if you can't come up with a better thing about flares and jet planes doing just maneuvers, I think it's time for them to quit.
Sure, I do too. I mean, take for instance the Hudson Valley sightings in New York from the 80s. I talked to, I believe it was Dennis was his name. This was a huge craft that hovered, that multiple people saw, stopped traffic on the interstate. This wasn't flares. There's no way. And you take, for instance, the 2000 Shiloh and multiple cities in Illinois in 2000 where policemen were right under this thing. Huge craft, it's, you know.
Absolutely.
There's some sightings that just cannot be explained away as flares or weather balloons or swamp gas. And for people to buy into those explanations, to me, is ridiculous.
Case in point, they tried to poo-poo that Phoenix thing away. And, you know, the witnesses said, you know, it wasn't flares because flares drop. This thing was stable. And, by the way, it's back again. Some of the sightings out there, I understand.
Yes, I've been getting emails. I got one from you, but I got some locally from people saying, did you see the lights last night? And no, I was sitting here at the microphone, and nobody called me to tell me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's about all I have for you.
All right. Dick, thanks for the call, man.
You're welcome.
All right.
See you later, Egg.
See ya.
All right, the telephone line is open. I flipped a coin, and it came down on heads, and I had decided that would be open. So the telephone lines are open, 1-800-289-1092. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Caller? Ah, they're not there. All right. We will open that line back up. 1-800-289-1092. It's toll free. I pay for the calls. Toll free throughout North America. And then, if you're outside of North America, you can send me an email. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Eric, I get asked sometimes, people will send me email and ask me, why do I restrict those flash messages to outside of North America? And the answer to that is pretty simple. Because I pay for the telephone calls in North America. You don't have to pay for them. There's no reason not to call. 1-800-289-1092. Did you ever hear about the UFO sighting in 1992, December the 24th, 1992, in Monroe, Louisiana?
Sure didn't.
It was huge. This thing took several hours of the night. And I got a recording, apparently it's off a scanner, of the police. And see, the deal is, I was a deputy sheriff there, but it was the first Christmas Eve I had had off in years. And so I was home with my family. And I didn't see it. I didn't know anything about it till the next day. But it lasted for hours, and it was a huge UFO that appeared in Monroe, Louisiana, and hovered over people just above treetop level. And I've got the recording of it. You can hear the deputies talking about it, describing it. And
did they ever describe it as traveling at a high velocity?
Yes.
Okay. Because yeah. a lot of people will say, okay, if it's really large, it may be a slow speed, whatever, spy blimp that they're testing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it did both. It hovered, it moved slowly, and it took off in a blink of an eye. So, I mean, it did all of those things. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, how you doing? Excellent, excellent. Hey, I wanted to ask your guest there, while talking with Ricky, has he ever mentioned, like, a history of sightings or encounters, or was this a first-time event for him?
This was a first-time event for him. The first time that he saw it in broad daylight, like I say, it was sometime in mid-December. He believes around the 16th. And he, after that, he has seen what he believes is the same object, only at night, okay, and farther off. This first time he saw it in broad daylight, he said it was right above him, you know. And from what I've heard, he's got low-quality cell phone footage, nighttime footage, that hasn't been released yet. It's really low quality, but what he believes is a UFO. So it's challenged his belief systems, is what he's told me. It shocked him. It's put a strain on his family. And so he's just been trying to deal with it the best he can.
Gotcha. It seems like, around the same time period of the Stephenville sightings and a couple months prior to, you know, the official time for him, there's a lot of talk about of a history in the area, going back many, many years of people claiming to have seen things in the area, and even as children growing up to adulthood, remember
right,
seeing
there has. You're absolutely correct. I believe that famous airship sighting back in 18,
exactly.
I believe 90 something. You know, that whole area. It really does have a history of UFO sightings from what I've researched.
Gotcha. Well, excellent show, and you guys have a good evening.
All right, Chris. Thanks for the call. It's kind of interesting. I don't know that it means anything, but it was interesting to me that I got a telephone call today from my mother, and she was talking with me about a tornado that had come through her area and tore up. She was asking me, "Do you know Miss So and So? Do you know yet? Tore up that house and all this stuff."
Yeah.
And then she, just out of the blue, she said, "Do you remember when you were little, do you remember when we were leaving the skating rink one night and we saw that thing?" I said, "Yes, I do." And I've told that story on the air. Yes, I do remember.
Yeah.
Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Robert, and I'm calling from New York.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, Kevin.
Are you a first-time caller?
I'm a first-time caller, but I've been called by you before.
Okay, well, since you're a first-time caller, let me give you some applause here.
Thank you.
All right, Robert, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to say that all of us at UFO Digest appreciate the investigation that that Eric Taylor has conducted. And, you know, kudos to him, and encourage other people to pick themselves up by their bootstraps and do their own investigations, because it's really going to be the American people who are going to bring this solution to this problem. And I just wanted to say that, you know, no one should be afraid of contacting government people, because they actually work for you, and you ought to remind them of that. And I wanted to know if are there any other interesting things going on in Georgia, because I have other contacts there who have been reporting to me about Moultrie, Georgia, and a lot of activity over there in the western sections of Georgia near Tennessee. Have you heard anything else about that?
Yeah, you're exactly correct. I'd have to do more research on that. I have read about those sightings here in Georgia. And I totally agree with you that, you know, if you're interested in the UFO subject, and, you know, we're not going to get anywhere unless we all come together, almost, I hate to say it, almost like a lobbyist group, and start, you know, hounding our representatives, because,
you know,
Kevin, the last congressional hearing, I believe, was in 68 on UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's way past due, you know. And I'm going to continue doing what I do because, you know, I feel like it's my own personal interest and responsibility to fight for the cause I believe in. And I want to know what these UFOs are.
Well, if the report we got last night comes to pass, we will all know by 2017 what they are.
Right.
Yep. Also, today some news came out about a lot of the X conference, too, that Alfred Weber has pushed the initiative at the United Nations to make them implement the resolution that they came up with in 1978. And, you know, that's 30 years. They never moved on it. But now the public pressure is on both governments and the United Nations. And two countries apparently are making headway. As was mentioned last night, the United States here, there's activity, and in France. So France and the United States are allied in bringing this thing to a head.
And, Kevin, did you also hear about the UK, the MOD, released again, or soon release some more information?
Yes.
On UFOs? Yeah, I think Nick Pope told me about that. He's the former MOD person designated for the deal with the UFOs with the public. And I believe the current person is... Mr. Webb. I've sent a couple requests to him regarding Rendlesham Forest in December of 1980. I kind of keep in contact with Jim Peniston and a few others that were there. They basically told me about that whole event. This was, for those that don't know, at the joint base in England, Bentwaters and...
Woodbridge.
Woodbridge, exactly. And Rendlesham Forest is, the forest in the area. They told me that, you know, after the event, they were told that it never happened and don't ever talk about it again. Yet you ask the MOD, the Ministry of Defense, today about it, they'll say, well, that happened in 1980, and there was no defense significance, and the case is closed. And that's all you'll get from them. That's it. And this was a UFO that landed in the woods, and this facility was, I won't say much, but it stored, you know, some weapons, put it to you that way.
Well, did either of you guys hear the show that I did where I had a caller by the name of Mark? And he said, I was there. I was at Woodbridge. And he said what he talked about, he didn't see this happen, but he talked about the guys that he knew that were on the security detail that did go out. And he talked about what they were saying the next day, and what they said was there was a craft. It did land. It was hovering just above the ground, and that an ET, an extraterrestrial, did get off of the craft and carried on some kind of conversation with their supervisor.
Yeah, the base commander at the time was Mr. Gordon, who I've emailed, and basically he wrote back saying, well, Charles Holt and his little crews, they went out with a Geiger counter that they didn't know how to use, and there's basically no evidence. Bye-bye. And I said, well,
may I interject something here?
Uh-huh.
I was down in Washington, and I met Jim Peniston and Colonel Holt, two very honorable men. And, you know, we've seen that case on the History Channel and Discovery and all these other coverages, and they always leave two very interesting details out. One was that Jim Peniston walked up to the craft and touched it.
Yeah.
That was amazing. He said it looked like onyx and it felt like metal and that he was electrified by it. The other thing, at that Washington conference, you know, you hear the expression pulling a rabbit out of a hat.
Uh-huh.
Colonel Holt was at the podium and I was at the center aisle. And all of a sudden he reached under and he brought out a plaster cast. The thing did touch down and it made a very deep impression in that, you know, that frozen English forest soil. And there were three landing marks, and they made three plaster casts. And they
measured the distance apart from each other, if I may add, didn't they? And it was like exactly the same measurement,
the
equilateral triangle.
It was quite impressive, and I was able to handle it. I was there, and I wanted to touch it and feel it. And it was a rounded landing pod, almost like a section of a circle. And over the years, it had been chipped and broken. It had become somewhat oblong. If you turned it upside down, it looked like a flying saucer, actually. But just to be able to hold that and feel a tangible proof of the actual landing of a UFO craft, and these things are not light at all. If you have an interest in the engineering aspects of UFOs, the best book ever written, in my opinion, is Paul Hill's Unconventional Flying Objects. And Paul Hill was a scientist with the CIA, and he got permission to go through all their files in order to write a book that was just purely technical, nothing about abductions, nothing about aliens, just how the things worked. And one of the cases that was cited was the landing of a UFO in France in a railroad yard. And the craft touched down, fortunately for all of us, it touched down on one of the railroad ties, the wooden beams, and left a very deep impression. They measured the density of the wood and determined that the weight of the craft had to equal about 30 tons to go that deeply into the wood. So I said to myself, my God, this thing sounds like a submarine, you know? The mass of the craft sounded to me like the density and the weight of a nuclear submarine, but one that was about 30 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
All these little details, important details about, you know, they say no physical facts, no physical evidence. Baloney. They just don't report it.
Yeah, yeah. There's tons and tons of forensic evidence.
Yeah. Another interesting thing, and something that I follow closely, is the insignia, the glyphs, and sometimes they call them hieroglyphics, on these craft. And they are very consistent. I mean, you see the same pattern of glyphs depicted, not only in the patterns that were copied by Jim Peniston, but even as far back as medieval Japan and China, where they drew, they did Chinese paintings of flying chariots with banners. And I've discerned that these characters, particularly a V-shaped character with a diagonal slash alongside it, and other things that represent the sun and symbols for the king, appear pretty regularly. And there's one in particular, you know, like a delta form, like a triangular form that some people associate with the Trilateral Commission. Those craft seem to be part of the gray flotilla, you know, the one with the black triangles or triangular glyphs. And if you see those, stay away. Stay away. I warn people about UFO hunting. it's a very dangerous affair. You know, first of all, looking at a UFO when it's brilliantly lit can actually cause blisters on your eyes because they radiate something called actinic rays. Another one is you can get burned internally because there is a microwave. There are microwaves involved in this. So you should approach UFOs with caution, and you shouldn't stare at them for a very long time without protection. One must be very, very guarded. Look what happened to Betty Cash.
Oh, yeah. That was in Texas.
She just passed away.
Wasn't that on Unsolved Mysteries? Am I crazy?
It's all over the place, but the significant thing about Betty and her passengers was they said the craft came over their car, and they started to feel like they were boiling inside.
Right.
That's precisely what microwaves do to a product.
Yeah.
She was sick for a while. It's not cooked.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Everything isn't cooked from the outside. It's boiled up from the inside, and that can cause a lot of damage. They did show signs of radiation poisoning. That was the determination of the specialists in the hospital. So be careful, you know. Go hunting. Check it out. Don't get too close. People will come up to them. One of the things I point out, you know, when the space shuttle comes down from outer space, they can't approach that thing for an hour because the heat has to dissipate, but there are also poisonous gases that are effusing from the tiles in the case of the space shuttle, which by comparison is a pretty slow thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
23,000 mile an hour entry, 12,000 miles an hour through the atmosphere. Compared to UFOs, you know, whose speeds are astronomical, they zip in and out of outer space. So when that craft has come down through our atmosphere, even if it's got some kind of force field protecting it, the heat is immense, and people have been burned simply by going close to them, not to mention the other forms of radiation, the forms of different lights that have unusual effects on people. Some of those lights can create sheer panic, and other frequencies of those lights can mesmerize you and put you into bliss. So people have these experiences like they've seen God or something, you know, like Moses at the burning bush, which I think was a UFO myself.
It may have been. Robert, we have to head off to a break here in just a few seconds,
okay. But
I do thank you for the call. Interesting information.
I want to say hi to the two of you, and I appreciate all your work, and keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot.
Outstanding.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. A lot of stuff that is in the Bible. If you look at the descriptions, it appears to be describing what we call UFOs, a lot of it. I mean, there are a number of incidents that are recorded in there that's what it sounds like if you just read what it says.
Sure, a glowing object descending from the sky, hovering, exactly, you know, a chariot. That's what they used to describe an object, perhaps, back then, you know? I don't know.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the thing about, you know, they would have to use whatever descriptive language was available to them. Even now we have people that say, well, it was as big as a 747, or it was bigger than a 747. What are they doing? They're using terminology that we're all familiar with, in order to describe something that we're not familiar with.
Sure, and that all ties back into, you know, at a certain period of time, if you said we're going to go to the moon one day, you know, people thought you were crazy. We were going to have computers one day, you know, you were crazy. It's all relative to time and space, you know.
We have to take a break, and we'll be back, folks, on the other side of this break. More with Eric Taylor and your telephone calls.
that sound. Way down A Street, we banged the drums. I made some friends for the future to come. Took a walk on the Freedom Trail. Saw the place where the patriots fell. Walked through the commons, sat down for a while. I saw some parents walking by with a child. Boston Nights, guided by potential lies. Boston Nights, and I'm high in the sky, but it feels so bright. Boston Nights, guided by potential lies. Boston Nights. Wonderland, had a look at the promised land. Drove up north where I spend the night. Breakfast at Thrift Food in the morning light.
Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We are back. My guest this evening is Eric Taylor, and he has been investigating the story of one of the witnesses of the Stephenville UFO sighting. He's been investigating the story of Ricky Sorrells, and that's what we have primarily been talking about tonight. Eric, and let me say also, the telephone line is open, 1-800-289-1092. And it's toll-free throughout North America. If you live outside of North America, you can send me a flash message with your question or comment. I'll read it, and we'll ask Eric to respond to it. Now, Eric, before we went away for the break, some point in that last segment, you were talking about how this has affected Ricky Sorrells, and you said that it has shaken him up somewhat, and I think you mentioned that it has shaken his belief system some.
Well, that's what he's told me. First of all, let me say that he doesn't live in Stephenville. Just in case people are wondering, he actually lives in Dublin, Texas, which is near Stephenville, and also near Selden, Texas, which is also where sightings were seen. Ricky is he's in his 30s. He's got a family. He lives, you know, in a small house. He's a metal machinist. Basically, you know, he's religious. Doesn't drink or smoke, nothing like that. Real good guy. You know, so somebody like that sees a craft of that size and has to, you know, endure some, you know, media attention and, you know, have to face his friends and coworkers. You know, that's a little challenging for somebody, I would believe, like Ricky, you know. I don't know if he ever was interested in UFOs before this or ever thought about it, but if you're, you know, if you're set in your ways and your beliefs and something like this happens to you, I would imagine it would kind of, it would make you, when you're alone, kind of think, you know, think about things. And, you know, a certain level of shock value, you know. It probably would me. You know, me personally, I've never seen a UFO. But I've seen and researched, you know, enough evidence to where I believe a major investigation is needed to get to the bottom of what these things are.
I agree with that. I think, and I think those major investigations have been conducted, but we have not been told about them. And perhaps it's time. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I see. Couldn't stand to be on hold, I see. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092 is the telephone number. It is toll-free throughout all of North America. That includes Canada, of course. A lot of times people forget Canada is America. And so, but it's toll-free in Canada as well, 1-800-289-1092. Yeah, the belief system thing is something that gets debated a lot. I got a couple of emails this week already where people are saying they don't think that's a valid issue, but it truly is. People who think that's not a valid issue are people who generally tend to be pretty broad-minded anyway. But people, and I mean, they're already open to the idea that there are extraterrestrial visitors. But people that have grown up in a very kind of almost closed society, and I'm a Texan, so I know, originally a Texan, they've grown up in a small community. The world pretty much revolves around the First Baptist Church, the First Presbyterian Church, the First Methodist Church, and the local Roman Catholic Church, and that's about it. And maybe the First Episcopalian Church. And so the world view and the galactic view is not the same. And it really can have some shaking effects upon your belief system. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent from Wyoming.
How you doing, Kevin?
Good.
sorry about that. Something you said about Ricky kind of have to sit back in his own, on his heels and think things through. I'm just saying, could he possibly be a test case that the if there are extraterrestrials out there, they're watching him to see how he reacts to their sudden arrival?
I thought about that. I thought about, you know, did they, you know, possibly choose Ricky? You know, is he the chosen one? I'm sure a lot of people have thought about that, and it's something that we don't know the answer to. You know, he is who he is. He's the kind of guy that he is. You know, if I would have seen it, I would have been talking to New York Times, every major media outlet I could to get my story out, you know, but that's just me, you know, somebody who has a family, you know, has to provide for them, isn't so interested in UFOs, might have a different, you know, way of dealing with it, you know.
Yeah. That was my question, Owen. Kevin, the reason hardly anyone called last night is you had a good guest. We didn't want to interrupt.
I knew that was going to be what you said. Okay. And I'm psychic. When you started the comment, I knew that's what you were going to say. He was fascinating.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks for the call. Test case. Well, maybe, but, you know, there were several hundred people that saw these things.
Right. Steve Allen is the main, I would say the main guy from Stephenville that was first, you know, propelled into the media. and Rick Sorrells kind of came afterwards from Dublin. Now, you also got to think, most people, you know, they've got busy lives, technology, the way it is now. You go to work, you got to take care of your family, you got all this stuff to do in a certain amount of time. You don't really stop to think about UFOs. You know, that's like number 6,048 on, you know, people's lists of finding out about. So when the media plays it off as a joke and the Air Force and the military says there's nothing to it, most people believe that, you know. But I think people are starting to come around with media coverage and people coming out about what they've seen. It's starting to pick up again.
Well, I'll tell you what, the cover stories and the way that some media tried to play it off didn't wash. It just didn't wash in Stephenville. The people there said, hey, you know what? I'm sure they have their reasons for saying what they say, but, you know, I know what I saw. Let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is JoJo in Texas.
Hi, JoJo.
Hi, Kevin.
Have you ever called me before?
No, I'm a new caller.
Well, some applause for you. All right. Go ahead, JoJo.
Okay, I have a question for Eric.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you have asked Ricky if he has seen the same type of lights reported by Sheriff Gatlin and some of the other witnesses to the lights.
Okay. You've seen the video on YouTube, or excuse me, or like on the UFO Hunter show recently, the squiggly line, colored lines?
Yes.
That were recorded? Okay, that was, I believe, seen in Stephenville. Dublin, like I say, is about 8 miles southwest of Stephenville. So what Ricky saw in mid-December in broad daylight was completely different. I mean, this was a humongous craft. Other people have reported, that's the thing about, the funny thing about this is that there's been, people have described different things, craft, lights. I believe Steve Allen said it was like a mile-long white rectangle that traveled at a huge, very fast speed. Sorry if I'm incorrect on that, but I believe that's the case. It's almost like there's different types of craft or phenomenon in the areas, basically.
So the sightings that Ricky has seen subsequent to that daylight sighting, the ones at night, mm-hmm. he hasn't seen any the squiggly line lights or any unusual lights associated with the craft? How is he spotting the craft at
night? Yes, he has spotted lights. He has told me that, yes, subsequently he has spotted lights. I haven't really asked him for many details regarding that, but I really want to see this grainy cell phone footage he says he has, so we'll see. But
thank you.
Thank you, JoJo. JoJo, let me ask you a question before you go. Are you still with me?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. What part of Texas are you in?
I'm northeast of Dallas.
Northeast of Dallas. All right. Well, you know, I grew up in the south part of Dallas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm out by McKinney.
I know right where it is. Used to go through McKinney on my way to our farm in Atoka, Oklahoma.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. Boonies.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Take care, though.
1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. 1-800-289-1092. It's toll free. And if you live outside of North America, you can send me a Flash message. Just send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Eric, we have a final break coming up in about 10 seconds. And when we come back from that, I want to ask you, and I'm telling you this in advance so you can prepare yourself, I want to ask you to address how has the Stephenville investigation impacted you, if at all. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We have time for one more, maybe two more calls if you hurry, all right?
Wants to go, we sat all night out in So the winds keep on turning. We get caught up and we keep on learning. Could be a hurricane, but you know you can take it. 'Cause life is what you make it. Once a child, he was given all the love he could get. He grew up so strong inside and gave it all back. He's still giving, yeah. He walks with ease and a fire in his eye. This is our story and he's still getting high. And he says, life is what you make it anyway. And he says, life is what you make it. You give love and you can take it. Life is what you make it. And he says, life is what you make it.
Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcast right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We are back. We're talking with Eric Taylor. And, Eric, let's hold off on the question I had because I want to go to the telephone line. Charles from Albuquerque, you are on, sir.
Well, I just wanted to comment that listening to all the various descriptions of the witnesses from Stevensville kind of brings to mind the parable of the blind men describing the elephant.
Yeah, it does. It does. Good analogy.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody seems to describe one different aspect, and yet it all seems to somehow be related.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, Charles, I appreciate it. Have you seen anything like this out in the Albuquerque area?
Oh, no, I haven't. I, like you, keep my head buried in my computer most of the time.
That's a fact. I do that. Charles, thanks for the call.
Well, thanks for being there.
All right, sir.
That was great.
Yeah, and, you know, it's such a big sighting, and everybody describes the part they saw, you know, and maybe it's all the same thing, though. How has this impacted you, Eric?
Well, I thought about it, and basically, it's kind of like another charcoal thrown into the fire, basically, for me. It's just another stepping stone and learning process. You know, and each one of those is a good thing, you know. You kind of stop and think. You try to read people when you're talking to them. Really think about the information that you're getting. And I've just kind of felt like this is a major UFO case, you know, and it needs to be reported. And basically, and I'd want to say hello, by the way, to Mr. Mark Murphy. He's a councilman, city councilman, Stevensville. He's interested in getting to the bottom of this also. So I just want to say hello to him. I can hope he continues and finds out what's going on. He's running for mayor of Stevensville.
Well, it's one of the interesting things about the Stevensville case has been the number of public figures, leaders of the community, that have stepped forward and said, now, wait a minute. These people are not lying.
We're Correct.
They saw what they said they saw. And I think that's a very, very important development.
Yeah,
you had Constable Gaten.
Yeah.
He's been on the show. He's an elected official. And that you've got this councilman. You've got business leaders. Steve Allen's a business leader, businessman. And these people have stepped forward and said, okay, look, we're not going to be railroaded by the ridicule here. These people saw what they said they saw. And
definitely
we know it was not jets.
All right. If you ever had an F-16, even a high altitude, I mean, they make noise. And they don't hover, you know.
No, they don't do long, stringy light dances in the sky either.
Nope.
All right, let's go back to the phone line. This will be our final call. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario. How's it going?
It's going well, Kevin.
Great. And hello, Eric, a fellow IPUS director here up in Northern Ontario, Canada. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm wonderful. Thanks.
I got to say, wonderful, wonderful job on the Stevensville, Texas case, man, I got to say. My question for you is, do you have any other further projects you might want to let us in on?
I really do not. I'm trying to think. There's just always on, you know, I always keep up on the new sightings that come out. A lot of them are from UFOcasebook.com, a lot of sightings. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of sightings in the UK right now.
Oh, yeah.
A whole lot, seems like.
Well, I actually came across, I'd like to call a treasure box of UFO material. It's actually on a YouTube. I think I sent you that in the email, Kev. Did you get it?
Yes, I did. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's a treasure box of pretty much UFO sightings, radio shows, amateur videos, and documentaries we've had on the Discovery Channel and whatnot. It's pretty great. It's... Kev, maybe you could put it in the next K-Files easing for everybody.
Yeah, that I think that'd be a good link to put in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm actually going to be going to do some UFO hunting once the weather gets nicer there, once I get some deaths out of my way there. So anyway, just want to say great work of what you've been doing there, Eric. And Kevin, also, you two also keep up the great work, man.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right, have
Take
a good
care.
Night, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, that will have to be our last call because we're so close to the end of the show. I do want to thank everyone who has called in this evening. And that's what this show is all about. This show is all about information and the exchange of information, the exchange of ideas. And it only really happens well when you call in with your questions and with your comments. I thank you for doing that. Also, let me say that tomorrow night we're going to be discussing something that is really blockbuster information, I think. The question is, has there been ever a cosmic war out there in space? Has there been a cosmic war? If so, is there evidence of it? And what is that evidence? Who was fighting? And why? And is it related at all to the UFO activity that we see today? We're going to be talking with Joseph Farrell about all of that. And you want to be sure and tune in for that. Now, Eric, in your investigation of UFOs, it is likely at some point that you're going to come across information that you're dealing with a race that's not too friendly. How do you think you'll handle that?
Well, my theory is that, I believe that these races are very advanced. I believe most of them are benevolent. Now, obviously none of them will come here and try to, obliterate the earth or anything. I don't know if I quite believe that there are very, evil races of ET. Maybe they haven't come to earth yet, but, I tend to think that if you're that far advanced, that you kind of realize that violence is kind of useless. You know, they're that advanced. What do they have to gain by taking us over or doing harm to us? That's basically what I think. But
well, scary, you know, if someone comes into your house tonight and kidnaps you and takes you away and does some sort of medical procedures on you and then takes you back to your house, you're likely to call the police.
Very much so.
Yeah, and if the police can identify the suspect, they're not likely to arrest him, they're going to arrest him, and that person is going to stand trial. That we call that crime. And,
I won't lie. If I was abducted, you know, it probably would freak me out. It would definitely change my outlook on the whole situation. Hasn't happened yet.
That's why there are a lot of people who have been abducted or say they have and talk about these things being done to them.
You're familiar with Travis Walton. He's one of the few that abduction cases that really catches my interest. Among others.
You ever met him?
I have not.
He's a very nice gentleman. He actually is just a very nice guy.
Right. Yes, I've seen video of him, and he just seems very genuine, like you say, very nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him at the world premiere of a movie called Fast Walkers. All right, folks, we have come to the end of the show.
I want to thank you for having me on, Mr. Smith.
Well, I thank you for being on, and if you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment. All right, folks, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Be sure you're here tomorrow night when we talk about cosmic war. Until then, so long, everybody.